So help me with that. I'm so excited where God is taking us as a congregation. And it's been summer, and I mentioned people are on vacation, and our numbers have been up and down and here and there and all these different things. And you know that. You know, that's what happens in the summer, because when you only get a few months of nice weather, you got to enjoy it, right? Come on, somebody. And so it's good to do that. But I'm just preparing really to, I'm going to take a couple of days after services today. I'm going to get out of town and just to fast and to pray and just get more clear direction and just get alone with God about what it is he wants us to do. But he showed us some things. And if you're a member of this church, and I don't mean that you carry a card or that you went through classes, but if you consider this your church, Resurrection Life Church, I want you really to continue to pray. And I know many of you have already, what God would have you to do in the ministry. And I'm not talking about the ministry just in the church. I'm talking about really, really surrendering and becoming a disciple of Christ. And we've been talking for the past couple of months on a message that we titled Mission Possible. You know, you and I are called to a mission with God, the great commission. Most of us know it that way. But the mission is to make disciples. And I cannot make an effective disciple if I am not an effective disciple. Come on, somebody. It's true. You can't reproduce what you're not. So you and I need to be becoming disciples, and we've been talking about how Holy Spirit wants to come and enrich our lives, and we took some time and we looked at the spiritual gifts, which God gives liberally to those who seek the kingdom first. But I don't want to just focus on spiritual gifts. We believe in all those, and we walk in those, and we've seen God do so many great things. And God wants to move not only in our services but in small groups. He wants to move where you work. He wants to move where you shop. We've got some things we're going to be doing this fall. I just made a contact with a local ministry that is actually going out and doing what they call treasure hunts, if anybody's familiar with that. It's something God put on our heart last spring about, probably the beginning of the year. And I just prayed and asked God to bring some people. We had a few people in our church that came to me. I didn't call them up. They came to me and said, hey, what about this? This is what God put on our heart. And I said, oh, those are treasure hunts. And they're like, we never heard that before. And something that really Bethel Church out in California calls it that. And found a young lady. So we're going to be doing some things with that. And really what it is praying and asking God, who do you want us to witness to? Because listen, if you go and you follow the Holy Spirit and witness to the people, if you will, the person of peace, we'll call it that. Jesus said that when you go into a town, if your peace stays in that house, stay there. But if it doesn't, if it returns to you, then go ahead and move on. There's some people you can't share the gospel with. I mean, that's why it's not really effective to stand on a corner with a sign and beat people over the head. I mean, it really doesn't work. And you know, I'm not saying you can't give out tracts and those things. Those things can be somewhat effective. I mean, we should use everything we can to preach the gospel, but we need to do it in the spirit of love. But if we follow the Holy Spirit, we'll be more successful. And we teach on that all the time. We're better off getting in the presence of God, letting Holy Spirit then direct our lives so that we can have success, rather than just doing what we want and say, well, God bless this, because that never works really to the fullest benefit of the kingdom. But we've got that. We're going to be talking about small groups over the next few weeks. We're interviewing a few of you that are involved in small groups, because we want the rest of you to know that small groups are an important part. It's not something we came up with. We call them relate groups because it gives us an opportunity to relate with one another, relate with Holy Spirit, and really impart those gifts and really start to grow. I mean, that you grow. We need a corporate setting like this, but we also need small groups, and we'll be talking more about that. But I just want to encourage you this morning and just to pray and to say, well, what is it that God has for me? And really, he'll tell you. If you don't know, seek him, okay? Sometimes we say, well, Pastor, I just don't know. Can you do something for me so I can hear God? Yes, I'm going to do it right now. Go read your Bible, get alone with God, and pray. There's not a magical prayer to pray. And if there was, I would have got it, and I never got it, so you don't get it. If you want to pray, we'll pray. Let me know. We'll get together. We can pray. I pray with a lot of you. But listen, you got to seek God. And even more than that, your alone time with God, you should guard that. If you've never, it's kind of one of them things that, you know, Trish and I were just talking about that the other day. And we spend time together in the Word, and we share things of God, and we pray together. But there is nothing like the sweet presence of God in the morning. We have our own place that we go in the house. It's nice now because our kids are older. And so we got this house, and we got lots of room. And so we don't even have to be together in the morning. And so it's really, you know, not that we don't want to be together. It's not. It's a good way. If you don't want to be together, it's a good way to be apart, I suppose, and get your heart right and then get back together. But that's not why we do it. But there's nothing like being in the presence of God, just you and him. All right? And that's something that, as a believer, you and I should do every day. I'm not talking about just memorizing Scripture. Memorizing Scripture is important. And as we get through this series over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about a personal discipleship plan. What does that look like? That doesn't mean you have to do everything to the letter, but if I'm going to become a disciple, yeah, memorizing scripture is part of it, but listen, if you and I don't know how to recognize the presence of God and then get in it, we're going to be ineffective in this mission that is possible if we allow the Holy Spirit to direct us. And I can't say that enough this morning, you know. It's really just about getting one-on-one time with him. Matthew 28, 19, a couple foundational scriptures in this series. Let's look at these, and then I want to move forward a little bit. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He says, teaching them to observe all things that I command you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so Jesus says, look, I'm going to tell you, go do this, make disciples, but I'm going to be with you. Holy Spirit's going to guide you. We're, if you will, secret agents for the kingdom, Matthew 16, 24. And then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and what? Follow me. Deny himself, take up his cross. Now, that doesn't sound like 10% to me. Deny himself, take up his cross. I've heard some people say this. As a matter of fact, I just heard someone this week. They say, Lord, I was praying with them. They said, Lord, I just want to take up your cross. You can't take up Jesus' cross, okay? Jesus endured his cross. Your cross is what he wants you to live your life for. It's really, what does that mean? Crucifying your life. I have been crucified with Christ, Galatians 2:20. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. All right? And so that's where you have to start to become a disciple. Matter of fact, look what he says in Luke 14:33. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has, does that say cannot? Does it? Yeah. Cannot be my disciple? So there you see. And it doesn't mean that we can't enjoy things in this life. He wants us to. Just a couple weeks ago, I said to somebody, I was having a conversation on Facebook or something with Rick here, and we're talking about this summer, Trish and I we've taken some meetings, and we just listened to old 70s rock and roll. I know this will shock a few of religious people. All right, so I'm just here. I'm going to sacrifice some religious calves this morning. And listening to old Aerosmith stuff. Now, some of the songs you got a thumbs down. How many know Pandora? Sometimes you just can't listen to the words. But we're just listening to 70s music. And Rick and I were kind of chatting. I said, hey, we were talking about some things. And we were listening to some music. And I said, you know, you're meant to enjoy your life. If you enjoy your life, you know that people will see that. People that aren't Christians, they'll see you enjoying life. And they'll see that you're enjoying it on a level they don't. And you're not having to do the things they do to get that enjoyment. And that's part of discipleship. You got to realize that. It's so important. So we need to enjoy our lives. But listen, he says we need to forsake it. That's not what's important. We need to be at a place where we would give everything away if God asked us to. And really, we need to put our money where our mouth is, so to speak, and start doing that any way we can. All right? And so we're laying our lives down. And when you lay your life down, your life becomes more abundant. But really, to be an effective disciple, you and I have to have a support system. That's where we've been in this series. It's called the body of Christ. And you can't be an effective disciple, first of all, if you don't surrender to Jesus. Secondly, if you're not plugged into the body of Christ, you cannot be an effective disciple. There's so many people, not only in this city, but this state and really in this country, that really think that they're effective Christians just because they went to church one day a week. And, you know, we talked about some of the statistics. Statistics really show us in our culture, in this country, that the average Christian now goes to church once every 6 weeks. I don't want to be average, all right? And you say, well, that's because you're a pastor. No, Trish and I we have been saved now for 23 years, almost 24 years, and I'm telling you, other than a few vacations, and even on vacation, we find a church. We have not missed a service for anything other than maybe an occasional, I want to say illness, but gosh, we prayed over our kids, and I can remember driving to church and throwing up in the car. We'd clean it up and go to church anyway. Now, don't bring your infected child to church, and that's not what I'm saying. But we just wanted to be to church. We never missed it. Didn't matter. And again, people say, well, that's because you're a pastor. No, it's because I'm a disciple. All right? It's because I'm a disciple. But the things that are important, it's not just going to church, but so many people think, well, because I went to church, I did my part. That is not enough. You realize that this morning. Really, you should be praying and you should be saying, Lord, today I am your servant. More than that, I'm a son. Because Jesus said, I don't call you servants any longer, for a servant doesn't know what his father's doing, but I call you sons, because God wants us to know what he's doing. He wants to talk to us. He wants to lead us. He wants to guide us. So we pray and say, I'm your son. I'm here to serve you. Father, what is it that you have in the harvest field today? Because I know the harvest is white, but the laborers are few, so I'm a laborer today. Use me in the marketplace. Use me where I work. Listen, if you don't pray like that at least sometime, repent. Your prayer life is ineffective if you're not praying like that. That should be part of it. But you know what most American Christians anyway, oh, Lord, you got to help me with this job. I got this deadline, and oh, I need some more money because we got to improve the house, and we got to do that. And boy, that car is breaking down, and I don't know what we're going to do. And the pastor said, I can't just give 10% anymore, and I don't know what we're going to. And that's our prayer life, and we go, and we live frustrated, defeated, worrisome lives. That's not prayer. That's complaining. All right? God is not in the complaint department business. He's not. Now, sometimes we got to get it off our chest, and we should come, and we can complain, and we can gripe, but we got to turn and repent quickly. But so many times, our whole prayer life, that's all it is. But because we're not taking time to see what God's word says, and you're going to be challenged. You're going to have things that are going to challenge you in your walk with Christ. If you haven't been here on Wednesdays, we got a series we call Problems Are, and we're going through what problems are, because problems aren't what you think, and if you're not able to make it on Wednesdays, get online and listen to it. Because God has a word to help you through whatever your problem is, get you past it, to strengthen you, to build character in you so that you can be effective as a disciple of Christ. See, the New Testament really gives us this vision of the followers of Jesus living aside one another for the sake of one another, caring for one another, and preaching the gospel. Not just getting together and having a service, and this is good, and we need this. But we're living life together, enjoying life together. And the only way you can do that is together, okay? I mean, and so it's really, and for so long, the body of Christ has made us think that we become Christians and now there's a bunch of rules and regulations we need to obey, and that is not what Christianity is. I cannot say it enough. There's so much grace teaching out there. I'm not going to turn this into a grace series. We'll talk more about that. We always talk about that, but there's some good teaching out there today about grace. Listen, you are saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest you would boast. See, God knew that we would try to prove we were better than everybody else. But it's not that. You don't get saved and then you have to do a bunch of things. You get saved and what happens is you now start to desire Jesus. And if you don't desire him, then fast and pray. This is not one of them, yeah, pastor, yahoo! And we'll fast and pray. We'll start with one meal. Start with coffee. I don't know, something. Lay your life down. Get alone with God. Get a Bible that you understand. Get a Bible reading plan when we get the new ones in. I know we're out of the summer ones because so many of you have taken them. So that's good. I like running out of things. We'll have more of them this week probably. But living life together, because really what makes a strong church is when we live life together. Look what it says, 1 Corinthians 12:25, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should be, or have rather, equal concern for each other. So equal concern means I'm doing my part, taking responsibility. We said this a few weeks ago, but again, it's summer and we're in and out and we've had some special services and special speakers and boy, it's just been a great summer. Listen, we don't date the body of Christ. We commit to it. All right? Hosting one another. Acts 2:42, this is really the key to effective discipleship. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Do you see the signs and the wonders start to flow when we start to have fellowship with one another, when we continue in the apostles' doctrine with fellowship, with breaking of bread, and with praying? And we're going to do a series probably right off the end of this one. We're going to talk about prayer. Because listen, you can't pray without faith, and you can't have faith without prayer. They kind of feed one another. And so effective prayer is really all about using the faith that God has deposited in us and then praying from that faith and allowing our faith to get stirred up, and then we pray more, and then our faith gets stirred up, and then we pray more. And we'll be talking about that probably as we get into September this year. But we learned how we need to receive each other, and we're not going to show all these scriptures, but the Bible says, therefore receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Receiving the gifts that we are to each other, embracing one another, realizing that we need each other for effective discipleship. We learn that we really, when we receive one another with the gift that's in us, we get the reward of that gift. Jesus said that when you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you get a prophet's reward. All right? And even if you give a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, Jesus said you'll not lose your reward. And so receiving one another, realizing that there's value in everyone's life. Not only us as Christians, but really God values and honors those who don't know him yet. Because the Bible says he's long-suffering, that all would come to repentance and the knowledge of his saving grace. We should honor one another. Romans 12:10, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. Bible says to honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king, and to serve one another. All right, I'm going to go over to Romans 15:14, and we're going to spend a little bit of time on this morning before we dismiss. And so we're supposed to be receiving each other. We're supposed to be serving each other, honoring one another, doing my part, loving one another, realizing that we need help, but that others also need our help. Not in a boastful way, but we start to really just, we're living life together. Does that make sense? Okay? I hope it does. Romans 15:14, he says, now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Well, what does admonish mean? It means to warn or to caution gently. To warn or to caution gently. It says in Proverbs 27:17, that as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of another man. And so what you get here is this picture that you and I really should be, we'll just say this, we're teaching one another. Teaching one another. You'll see the videos we're putting together, but that's one thing that's so important about small groups is, you know, you have something to learn. When you get around other people, you just kind of learn. It's just something that happens. Things that you never even thought you were going to learn, because how many know other people have different life experiences where they've gone through things and learned some things maybe you haven't learned, and maybe you've learned some things that they haven't learned, and so one hand washes the other, so to speak. But Christians, we're so busy. So many institutions have taught us, well, you need to do this, do that, need to do that, need to do the other thing. If you want a teaching on grace, listen to Pastor Bernie's message from last Sunday. It's perfect. But we've put these laws on people, so we're afraid to get around one another because we think, well, what would everybody think? Where did that come from? I'll tell you where it came from, the Garden of Eden. If you go all the way back there, here's where it came from. I'll make it easy for us. Listen carefully. As soon as they ate of the tree that they weren't supposed to, all right, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, all right, we weren't meant to do that. We weren't meant to judge people like that. Now, the Bible says by the Holy Spirit, we should judge ourselves and judge others, and we'll judge angels. I know all that, but not in a judgmental way like I'm talking about. But what happened is they ate, and then they hid from God, and do you remember what God said? The first thing he said is, who told you you were naked? There you go. Right there. Who told you you were naked? Listen, you and I have got to realize that in humility that we are clothed with Christ, the Bible tells us, when we live in this kind of an environment. Where we realize, look, I'm not where I used to be. I'm not there yet, but I'm in Christ. We're so judgmental, because what it does is our body's like law, believe it or not. We like to say, well, if I do this and this, if I make sure that I work out an hour and a half today, I can eat all the chocolate cake I want to. Glory to God. See, we like that. But you're not supposed to be led by your flesh, neither am I. And the Spirit, really, what does it talk about love? We did a wedding yesterday. Love is patient, love is kind. Love is not boastful, it's not proud, it's not arrogant, it's not rude, doesn't demand its own way. And that's love. And so when we start to realize, look, we're not perfect. Look at me carefully. You're not perfect. Now all you can say, Pastor, you're not perfect. Would you say that? Come on, say it. Pastor, you're not perfect. There, you got your chance. Some of you did, some of you didn't. We're not perfect. But the Bible says our spirits are made perfect through Christ Jesus. So it's a process that we're in, and as long as we think we have something to prove, we won't get the help that we need, and others may not get the help that they can receive from us. I hope that makes sense to you this morning. I can't say it any clearer. I've had so many conversations with so many of you in the congregation where you've come to me in an honorable way and said, Pastor, when you did this, this, and that, I just want to pray with you. You know, you seem frustrated, or this or that, or something, or how can I pray for you, or what's up? Is something up? I've got people that are very close to me that I confess things to, because I need that help. And any of you that have ever done that, you know, you may see it at first. I might be like, what you talking about, man? I mean, you know, no, I won't be like that. But maybe a little bit, but not as much as before. But if any of you have ever done that, you realize that I've honored you, I've received that. So, well, let's just pray. You know, because I'm not where God wants to take me yet, but I need your help getting there. Does that make sense to you? All right? And it doesn't mean that there's not honor for a position of pastor or apostle. And all, we talked about all this early on in this series. I mean, there is a fivefold ministry, but we should honor one another, and there's a respect for a position. I understand all that. But listen, we need each other's help. It's really, really important. And really, truth and honesty is really what it's all about. Matter of fact, and we're probably going to, I'll give you a couple more scriptures. We're probably going to have to start to wrap this up. But really what it's about is, am I growing spiritually? As a disciple, we need to be growing spiritually. Am I maturing in the body of Christ? I want to read, I don't have this in my notes, Zach, but if you can look this up in the New Living Translation. Ephesians chapter 3, New Living Translation, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. It gives us a picture of what God's idea of what the church is. Ephesians 3, 16 through 19, NLT. He says, I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, that he will empower you with inner strength through the Spirit, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down deep into God's love and keep you strong, and you may have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is his love. And we've taught on that before, so I'm not going to spend a bunch of time on that. I'm sure we will again in the future. But really, growing in the depths of the love of God are so important. But here's the end result, and this is what I wanted to get to. He says, may you experience the love of Christ through, or though it is too great to understand fully, then, you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. And so really, you and I have to grow in this love, understanding the full depths of God's love. And really, the easiest way I can put that is it only can happen if we're in relationship with one another. We're not afraid to say, hey, would you pray for me? Or, hey, I got offended. Or, when you said this, it bothered me. But you know what we do most of the time is we go and we tell somebody else that someone else bothered us. And yet, that really doesn't work. It's not effective, not for long term. It really isn't. Because sometimes we can bother one another. How many know that? It can happen. But see, what God does, I want to back up in that same chapter. We're in Ephesians chapter 3. I want to read verses 6, 7, and 10. Verses 6, 7, and 10. And look at this. This gives us a picture of as we're growing in love, as we're growing in the depths of Christ, as we're fully aware of love. And Jesus prayed in John 17, if you want to read it. Take that down for just a moment, Zach. If you want to read in John 17, he prayed for us that we would know the love of God, that we would be one even as he, Jesus, and his Father were one. And he goes over all that. We don't have time to turn there this morning. Matter of fact, John 15, you get lost in 15, 16, and 17 with this, of how Jesus wants us to live and being pruned and bearing fruit, and then he talks about love, and it really all just works together. It's all relationship stuff. But here's what he says. Let's read in chapter 3, verse 6, Ephesians. And this is God's plan, that both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. See, there's an equality there that you need to just believe God for the inheritor's portion. Let me just put it that way. You have an inheritance that is saved for you in heaven that God expects you to start to take some deposits out of, all right, or withdrawals rather. He says, so we both are same part body and enjoy the promise of the blessing because they belong to Christ Jesus. By God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving him by spreading the good news. You realize it's a privilege? God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in heavenly places. See, the body of Christ, to be effective, needs to be shown in rich variety to all the demonic forces, things that are controlling this world, the spirit of this age that is already controlling so many people and defeating so many Christians. But if we would work together, if we would start to really realize what being a disciple is about and living our lives out of that, having fellowship, true fellowship with each other, and then allowing God to use me, and I pray this way and realize that it's a privilege to share Christ and that God wants variety in his body, that I have a valuable part to play, look, I start to view life a whole lot different than how much money can I make, how many houses can I buy, and what kind of cars can I drive. Because that's not life. You need those things, or in our society, they really help, because we don't have, I mean, thank God for beta, but you need a car. I mean, when we need a car, all right? So we have a car. We've had two before, but we only need one, so we have one. That's more money you can give or save or invest or whatever. We just drive that. I mean, we got a two-year-old car that has 50,000 miles on it. Not even quite 2 years old. We just drive it because you need one. But that's not what life is. Life is this. I hope you understand what I'm saying this morning, all right? Now, I'm going to read this scripture, and this is where we'll have to pick up next week, and it'll make a whole lot of sense, and we'll break it down a little bit more. But read this with me. It'll give you something to look at this week. 2 Peter 1:2, he says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you," say to me, say to me, I'm going to wake you up this morning, "in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power is given to us, all things that pertain to life and godliness." You see there, he's given us everything we need. It's a good place to start. What does it say? It says in Psalms 34, "The young lions suffer hunger and want, but those who wait upon the Lord shall lack no good thing." Psalm 23, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." See, because he meets all of our needs, all right, for life and godliness. Everything we need is taken care of, but through the knowledge of him. So see, you can't get any needs met, spiritually or naturally, by seeking things. You have to seek him or the knowledge of him to get all your spiritual needs and natural needs met that he's already provided for. Again, I go back, we had this during worship. Seek the kingdom of heaven first, and all these things will be added to you. Okay, but we're busy. It's like it says in Psalm 34 also, "The young lions suffer hunger and want, but those who wait upon the Lord shall lack no good thing." I get a picture there. The young lions are on the prowl, it says in the Amplified. Always trying to get this and to get that and to take this and to take that, and I need this and I need that, and I better do this and I better take care of that. Listen, you will never know the provision of God. You could get wealthy, you could be rich, you could be famous, and never understand the provision of God living your life that way. Because with God, there's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. You may not have everything because you haven't figured it all out yet. I mean, heck, not everybody can be Creflo Dollar. Sometimes I see people on TV and I'm like, I'll never get there. But you know, they're real too. And if you were close to them, you'd realize that sometimes they'd rub you wrong too. Because they're on a journey as just like you and I are. But it says here, it says, "He's called us by glory and virtue, by which you have been given exceedingly great and..." How many believe the kingdom of heaven is exceedingly great? How many believe the kingdom of heaven? Listen, you have got to believe that. And I know I just said that, and many of you just thought, yeah, but you don't realize a bill I'm facing, or I need this, or I need this, or a gas, or what. You don't quite get it yet. But you will. You will. Okay, and I'm going to keep preaching until we get it. All right? If we don't think he's met our needs, it's because we've never experienced him. I'm not saying that we've never experienced the things we need. We've never experienced him. And there's a big difference. Because if you only experience the things you need, then you'll continue to go after those things when you have a need. But if you experience him instead of the thing you think you need, you'll always go to him and you'll have no need. Boy, I could not repeat that twice. That was the Holy Spirit. So you want to hear it again? Get online. But I hope that, does that make sense to you? And that's how we get so messed up. We hear something like this. We say, well, Pastor, you just don't understand. This is what I need. No, I do understand. Please don't look at your need. That's why you have lack. So we tap into these precious promises, if you will, everything we need for life and godliness by our knowledge of him, seeking him. Now listen to this. It says, through these promises that we may be partakers of the divine nature. See, when we seek the kingdom of heaven first, his divine nature starts to now dictate our lives. So that in every situation, it's like Paul the Apostle said in Philippians 4, I know how to have a lot, I know how to have a little. It's all this ties together. See, it's not what I have or don't have. He said no matter whether he was living in his apartment, whether he was in a dungeon, whether he was left for dead, whether he was being shipwrecked, it didn't matter. Christ was preached. So none of that mattered. Doesn't mean that there wasn't some pain. Doesn't mean that there wasn't some disappointment. My goodness, if you look at the writings of Paul the Apostle, he's like, pray for me. Believe me, he was not, his life was not without pain or sorrow or suffering. But he said, I count it all loss that I may gain Christ. I count all those things nothing because I'm living to preach the gospel. And so many times we say, well, that was Paul the Apostle. Listen, I'm going to really rock some worlds here. Do you realize that Paul the Apostle, matter of fact, he writes about it, was not really probably provided for as well as he should have been according to God's provision to not muzzle the mouth of the ox or whatever. We're so used to a pastor or whatever, and we should. And we should provide for those who teach us. The Bible says elders and stuff should be provided for. But you know, Paul the Apostle really was only provided for by a few churches. They were really hadn't, only a couple had gotten the revelation of providing for spreading the gospel. He didn't have a salary, yeah. That's why, you know, he should have. He should have, and sometimes he did, and the Bible shows us that he probably settled in his own rented house, the Bible says. Now, we don't know great detail from that. Some history tells us some things, but he had a place that he settled, and he continued to preach the gospel. All right. He says, having escaped, see, when you have the divine nature of God, I'm going to have to leave us with this. It says, having escaped the corruption is in the world through lust. And I'm going to have to stop there. But I hope this is ministering to us this morning. See, the problem is if we really want to be disciples, we got to get past this. We got to realize that I have no needs in him, that he's provided everything that I need, that he has given me all that I need for life, for godliness. I tap into that through the knowledge of him. The only way I can get the knowledge of him is by seeking him, being a disciple, making disciples, being in the body of Christ, realizing I have importance, realizing that other people have value in my life, and that I need everything working together for the good of God, for the kingdom. Then I'm going to escape the lust that dictates the world. I need, I want, I need, I want, I need. And until we get past that barrier, we cannot be effective disciples. But how many want to be a disciple? Can I see a show of hands? How many? Most of us. Amen. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for the word of God this morning that is working even now, and it's going to continue to work on the inside, these things that you've deposited in our spirits today. I pray for every person that has heard this message today that they would continue to grow in the knowledge and the grace of God. In Jesus' name. Keep our heads bowed for a moment. If you're here today and you're saying, boy, I've never heard the gospel quite like this. Maybe you're here today and you say, I want to be a disciple. I want to know not only that I'm on my way to heaven, but I want to know that I'm living my life to honor God. And so today we could pray a prayer and you can know that your sins are forgiven. You can know that you're on your way to heaven. And you can know that you're becoming a disciple of Christ and living a life to honor him, to please him, and to do what he wants you to with your life. If that's you today, and you say, Pastor, I want that for my life. I want to know that I'm on my way to heaven. I want to serve God with everything that I am. If that's you today, I want to pray for you, and I want to give you some information that'll be a blessing to you. And because of that, I'm going to ask you, in the count of three, I want to see your hand, just so I can give you this information. Every head bow. One, two, three. Lift your hand, quick. Say, Pastor, I see the hands over there. Anybody else? Those who have lifted your hand, a friend of mine here, Brandon, is coming over there. He's got some information. I encourage you to take that packet home. There's some great stuff in there, but there's a little card in there. If you'd fill it out, we want to pray for you by name, and you can turn that in at the information center. But right now, we're all going to pray together. And so I'm going to ask everybody to repeat after me, and let's welcome these into the kingdom of heaven today as disciples. Let's pray. Say, Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I make you Lord of my life. I'm going to follow you and serve you. I want to be your disciple. Thank you for cleansing me of all sin, giving me a new heart, and giving me a new life. I serve you, I love you, and I can't wait to be with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's celebrate together. I am so proud of you. Great.